In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We have a special guest in our studio today, Caleb Wagner. Welcome, Caleb. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Pastor John, for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you because you have a unique work that you're doing in the field. You are located in what part of the world?
I'm located in Myanmar, which is right between India and China in the Southeast Asia.
So what time is it there right now?
That's interesting. I need to look. They're half hour off for the rest of the world. When they changed their name, they also changed the time zone they were in.
So they got to be at least, I mean, it's right now, what, 10 in the morning or so right now we're recording?
Yeah, 13 hours different.
So it's probably 10 in the evening there, right?
That sounds correct.
That's just to give people a little feel for how far away this location is. And you do a very unique work. How would you describe the work that you do?
I'll be working with the Bible translation teams and the churches. My goal is to be the bridge between the two of them. So I'm not doing translation and I'm not doing church planting. My role will be training and equipping the church to use the Bible.
So once the translation is done, then you're working with these pastors to bring that translation into their local church, help them teach it, communicate it, make sure it's the translation is effective, and then help the pastors communicate. But if there's changes, you're going to go back to the translation team and help them?
That's correct. So we'll be involved in the beginning of the process and the end of the process.
That's huge, because how often, you shared a story with us the other day of how a bunch of Bibles were created, sent over, and then what happened to those Bibles?
Yeah, that story was unique. It wasn't our Bible Society, but this was a project in Chad, Africa, where they had published the Bibles, sent them, completed them, and yet nobody was using them because nobody had been tasked with distributing them, selling them. Nobody knew about it.
Yeah, and that's pretty scary from a translator standpoint to invest their heart, their soul, their life work to get the Word of God in the local language, to have the Bibles even printed but never distributed. It's as if they never did anything because the Bibles never got in the hands of the people.
That's right, Pastor John. Our goal is to help ensure that this investment of time and money and personnel is not going to waste.
And that's specifically your role. You're literally going to be putting the Bible in the hands of these pastors, correct?
That's right.
And then you're going to show them how to use it, listen to their feedback, and make sure that it is accomplishing the goal of making the Word of God available to a local people.
That's right.
So let's find out a little about you. How in the world did you get into a situation like this, a job like this? How did God providentially work in your life to say, yeah, I want to go to Myanmar and I want to help pastors use a Bible?
It wasn't originally on my horizon. I was looking to go to a Creative Access country in Central Asia, but God directed our focus toward Myanmar through my teammates. My brother I'll be teaming up with, as well as another couple. And this opportunity opened up because Bibles International has realized we need to do more than simply print a Bible and pass it off. You think about, as a new Christian, how helpful would it be if somebody just passed you a Bible and walked away from you?
Yeah, you can't study the Bible without someone discipling you.
Discipleship is key.
I remember my first year as a believer reading the Bible and coming across in Genesis and how God said 120 years. And because I had no one really discipling at the time, I thought, oh, that's why we lived to 120 years. When that has nothing to do with it. It was the time of until judgment was going to come, till the flood would come. So here you are. Now, did you go to a Bible college? How did this all get started?
So in Bible college, God made it clear that he wanted me involved in missions. And I didn't know exactly where or what that looked like after I finished at Maranatha Baptist University. In 2017, I went to Detroit Seminary in Allen Park, Michigan, where I studied for the next 3 years. And still, I wasn't quite sure. So I took a trip to Myanmar and Indonesia and prayed about which option God would lead us to.
Well, let's back up a little bit. So how did you know that God was calling you to the mission field? Did it happen at your time in college? Did it happen prior to that?
That's a good question, Pastor John. It wasn't a divine experience like some people might describe of a voice or something. God used circumstances and people and the gifts that he's gave me at birth, that this is desire for traveling and being involved with cultural ministry. I took a trip to China when I was a freshman in college and absolutely loved it. And it gave me a real taste for foreign travel and missions. And I wanted that. I wanted to be involved in that somehow. But I knew I didn't want to go to China because I couldn't be an English teacher.
So it sounds like, if I'm hearing this right, Caleb, your time at Maranatha was a crucible for these desires to get expressed and some opportunities to confirm the calling. Is that right?
That's right. And they gave me opportunities that I could see how God had gifted me.
And as you went to China and you came back, you realized, hey, this fits me. I enjoy this. You probably saw some fruit on the field. You came back. I'm sure some teachers invested some time in you as well.
That's right. And it gave me a desire and an excitement.
Now, what specific classes were you taking? I mean, so you're not a translator, but you can work with translators, right? So when you finished the 4 years at Maranatha, you said you went to Detroit. So really, Myanmar wasn't in the picture yet. Is that correct?
That's right. It wasn't in the picture until a year and a half ago.
Okay, so you're now at Detroit. Now, what did you do at Detroit Seminary?
I studied Hebrew and Greek and theology and took a Master of Divinity in Biblical Studies.
Okay, so now you're strengthening your biblical knowledge, and MDiv is unique that it tends to have some pastoral elements to it, as well as the doctrinal and so forth, correct?
That's right. I knew I needed to be grounded theologically and exegetically in the Bible.
All right, so now you're in Detroit, you're praying. Clearly, you have a sense that you want to go to the mission field, but there's no place in the world yet you've decided, right? So you're praying, and how did Myanmar come into the picture? Because of all the places in the world you can go, that country right now is in the midst of a civil war, right? How long have you been there?
So I traveled there in 2020, just before the pandemic came, and I got some good advice from a missions professor at Detroit. He said, choose a team over the field, because teams will ensure that your time there lasts and is more profitable, rather than choosing a field.
You know, that's great advice. And what you're telling me and what I'm hearing is that you're not really going alone. You have your wife, you have your family, but you're part of a team of support.
That's right. Yeah.
So how many are involved in this effort there in Myanmar?
So there's multiple units involved. My brother and his family, there's another couple that will be joining us. And then there was two other single ladies that were there in the Yangon. Everybody has left Yangon because of COVID. The government has shut down travel. So our team is going to reassemble as soon as we can.
Okay, so right now you're obviously not in the country, but you're not able to get back in at this point in time.
At this point, yeah. They're in the midst of a civil war.
And so they're keeping on not so much of COVID now, but of the civil war. Now, when did that start, just to help our audience get a feel for this?
Yeah, it was actually February 1st of 2021 that the government decreed a state of emergency and imprisoned all of parliament, and they have since been ruling with an iron fist.
So what's going to happen to your activities that are going on there in Myanmar?
That's the exciting part, Pastor John, because even though these people are suffering extensively and severely from COVID and the military, the one bright spot in their life is that they can continue to see God's work progress through translation. We've been doing this over Zoom with multiple translators on the field. They're living there in their villages with their people. They're translating the Bible. We're working with them over the internet.
So how are you talking to, let's say, the pastors of the local churches? I don't picture them, and forgive my ignorance, I don't see them with a laptop and zooming in. So how are they connected at this point in time, or are they not?
Actually, the translators that we work with, we normally have 5 to 7 pastors, and often pastors, that are helping translate. They're the translators.
Oh, so the pastors are partnering up with the translators through the whole process.
That's right.
Wonderful. So your work, in spite of a civil war, in spite of COVID, you're able to get through Zoom and other technology, and the work gets to continue on.
That's right. Now, my role as working with the pastors, training, mentoring, producing resources, that can't work over the internet. I can't do that remotely. So I'll have to wait till I can get on the ground before I can do it.
So in this important time, while this is going on, what are you doing? You're traveling around the country, letting people know about the work that you're doing. What are some of the things that you're doing to prepare for when the doors will open up again in Myanmar?
That's a great question. We're traveling to raise up partners that could get behind us and hold the rope, so to speak, as we go and could support us in that way. We have about 40% of our needed partners. We've been traveling for a year now in preparation for this, and we're preparing that we'll need to travel one more year, and then we're looking at going in the spring of 2023.
Wow. And, you know, with the Lord's providence, that's probably when hopefully this civil war has ended. The doors will open up. COVID won't be so much of a concern. And you can return to this really specific and important work.
That's right.
So I would just encourage the audience, you know, this is something to pray for. Pray that the civil war can find a peaceful end and that the doors into the country can open up. We really need to be praying for those people, don't we?
That's exactly right.
Now, help us understand what Myanmar is like. What is the religious state of affairs currently?
So Myanmar is historically Buddhist. They're 87 to 90% Buddhist. And that means that they are venerating and worshiping about 27 Buddhas. They give, it's a works-based salvation where you follow the Eightfold Noble Path to Nirvana, to enlightenment. And it's a works-based salvation, so people are giving their time, their talents to build elaborate pagodas and give all their prayers and time to these.
Yeah, what's a pagoda? I can't even say the word properly.
Pagodas. So people are giving their time and talents to build elaborate pagodas or shrines to venerate their Buddhas. And by doing this, they think that they can gain karma, which is good favor, and work up enough good karma to eventually reach nirvana.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking seeing people in such spiritual darkness because we know no work is ever accepted. Because if someone could work their way into heaven, then they'd have reason to boast. And Paul in Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you've been saved. It's not of works. It's a gift of God. So no one can boast." So what a reminder. So you've spent time in Myanmar. What are the people like?
The people are very welcoming. They're extremely friendly and excited. It's a very tropical country, so it's hot. We're 5 degrees from the equator. It's extremely warm there.
So lots of humid and lots of heat.
That's right.
But so they welcome foreigners. They appreciate Americans.
That's right.
Is it easy to talk about spiritual things to them?
Very easy. They love talking about spiritual things. They're very spiritual type people. But the problem is they see truth as relative. Buddhism believes in all types of truth, and your truth is different from my truth. Is from their perspective.
So what happens when you quote them John 14:6? Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me."
They like to use the elephant metaphor where you're just hanging on to this metaphorical elephant. You're touching one part, I'm touching a different part, but we're all touching the same elephant. And that's how they see that type of claim for truth.
So you can see the spiritual blindness, and it's heartbreaking, is it not?
That's right.
Well, yeah. We're almost out of time, and we're going to pick up in part two and maybe have you share some of the lessons you've learned in sharing the gospel in such a difficult circumstance. The truth is, we have the same problem here in the States. Well, I've heard people use that exact analogy, saying that, well, Christians have one truth and we have this other truth, and let's try to find a way to bring this all together. Well, I want to thank you, Caleb, and we're going to learn more about your family and our next time together. But let's give a website where they can find more about the work that you're doing in Myanmar. The website is hands, plural with an S there, the number 2, hearts, plural, asia.org. And there they can find about you, they can find about the work you're doing, contribute to the cause. And so I really recommend, write down that website, hands2heartsasia.org. Thanks, Caleb, for joining us on this special time together.
Thank you, Pastor God. I appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.